And welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And I have with me Lorraine from Eastern Health. We had Lorraine along 2 or 3 weeks ago and we were talking about mental health during the lockdown. Lorraine, I particularly wanted to get back to you today to talk to you because there are 2 or 3 issues that I'm starting to hear about that I thought A, you might have heard about, and B, you could give us people some ideas. One of the things that I've heard is that some people, it's not necessarily older people. It's people who have been locked up for about 3 months. And now some are getting concerned about the catching the virus, coming out of it, and we'll discuss that a bit later. But one of them that's sort of amazing me, and I'm hoping you can help us, is that some people, because they've been locked up so long, are starting to get frightened about coming back into the community.
Good afternoon, Alan, and good afternoon to your listeners. It's really great to be back again and great to be able to talk a bit more about mental health and how to look after yourself, I guess, as we're transitioning out of some of the more stringent restrictions. One of the things that I think surprises people sometimes is that after an event has happened or as we start to transition away from something that's been quite frightening, I guess we expect sometimes that we're just going to get back to normal life. And I wonder whether our emotional and mental health really works like that.
I suppose that's a fair comment, but it just seems to be that people, maybe they felt really secure at home. I'm not too sure what they actually thought, but now they're saying that, well, they're getting frightened to get out and amongst people that because they haven't been amongst people for up to 3 months. So is there any sort of strategies that people can employ or what should they be doing, please, Lorraine?
I think one of the things that happens when we lose that sense of control, so COVID happened really quite fast for most of us, and we had to make really quick decisions about being at home and perhaps working from home or having children at home or if people are living alone, and suddenly their normal activities or supports suddenly weren't there or were provided in a different way. And I think just that sense of increased uncertainty for a long time and maybe home feeling like a really kind of safe place makes it really hard now, even though restrictions are starting to ease. I think people may experience some distress around actually wanting to connect with the community. One of the things about COVID, I guess, was that it was kind of hidden. It wasn't something that we could see. And the people that perhaps are our main supports or the people that are nearest and dearest to us suddenly became the threat that we could potentially contract COVID-19 from anybody. And so that sense of isolation had an impact on mental health, but also can have an impact on coming out of that isolation as well. So that uncertainty, anxiety, distress actually might continue for quite some time, which can be really confusing for people because it may not be necessarily about contracting the virus, but just about that sense of that threat has been there for a long time and it's become kind of part of everyday life now. And so it's kind of like that invisible threat continues.
Yeah, I guess probably, well, one of the things are you saying that it's okay to feel that way? First of all, that people shouldn't feel as though they've got a major problem just because they're getting this anxiety?
I think almost the yes, absolutely. And I think it's the opposite sort of what we might think things should be like. In fact, we're kind of anticipating that people might experience a bit of a delayed response to things. So there might have been anxiety whilst in isolation, but actually coming out of it, it's a time when maybe things start to get back to a little bit more normal. And it's almost like the mind and the emotions are playing catch up, that we sort of went onto automatic pilot. This is what we have to do. And it was changing so fast that we were kind of in a crisis response or a threat response. And often what happens after a significant threat, whether that's a personal threat or in this case it's a global pandemic, there's kind of like a delay in that ability to process emotional distress, the ability to process mental health distress. So it's absolutely okay to not feel okay, and in some ways we really are expecting that that might be the case for many people in the community.
So, Lorraine, if people are experiencing those sorts of feelings that you're talking about, what should they do? Should they either just accept it and start to work their way out of it, or are you saying that they maybe should start to try and talk to people like yourselves to try and find a way out of it themselves, not by themselves, but with some professional help?
I think one of the things that might be helpful, particularly if people are experiencing distress, that first step to actually maybe move back into the community to start to do normal routines can be actually really difficult. And I guess we'd encourage people to maybe make contact with somebody, some person that they feel some sense of connection with or some sense of safety with, that actually might support them around making some simple steps. It might be setting a specific day that you go and do your shopping, but you do that with a friend or a family member so that your transition back feels like it has some support around it. So there's nothing to be ashamed of if we're not coping. There's and all of us need support at different times. So it may be professional support, and we'd certainly encourage people to act early if that's the case. But it may be just some really simple things like picking one thing that you can focus on each day where you're making a decision to transition back into. It might not be normal life the way that we knew it before either. Certainly people have had a chance to rethink maybe how life is, and perhaps they're wanting to make some changes in who they connect with or how they connect. So they might not want to be as busy as they were before, or they might want to be busier if they've been isolated, and being forced into isolation might have changed their desire to reconnect or to connect in greater ways with the community. So I think it's about thinking of simple things and small things to do that can actually provide support to increase your connection with other people, but to do it slowly. The transition into COVID isolation happened really fast. We really didn't have any time to get our heads around what that would really mean. And at the other end, it's almost like we're having to resolve that in some way. So be kind and compassionate to yourself. Take some time to really think about what are the most important things to focus on at the moment.
And Lorraine, the other thing is too, of course, there are still quite a lot of people that are really frightened about catching the vaccine, catching it. And of course, until there is some sort of vaccination against it, well, I mean, it could be around for quite some time, didn't it? So, I'll just take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
That make you go, I was in the crib, sitting by the fireplace, drinking cocoa on the bed. Bell rang, who could it be? Thought to myself, then started to shrug. Got to the door, ding dong, who is it? My girl's best friend had paid me a visit. Fly as can be, tight dress and all. She knew that I was faithful and really didn't have to go. I tried to chill, she made the move. Now I know my girlfriend wouldn't approve. I didn't realize my girl was setting me up. Yo, my girlfriend didn't trust me, no. Yup, but she lost control, I wouldn't take the bait. I said, chill, baby, baby, wait. My girl bust in, caught us creating the boom. She said, girlfriend! You go,
things that make you go, hey. Things that make you go, it's the things that make you go,
Here's how we started, just an example of how another brother can trample, ruin your life, sleep with your wife, watch your behind. There was a friend of mine named Jay, would come over late at night to say, hey, I watched your fight, I thought it was alright, cause me and Jay, we were really, really tight, so damn close, we had the same blood type. Months went by and my wife got big, we were having a child and I got another gay, so I let Jay move in the crib and chill. He had his own room and helped pay the bills. The time had come for baby dolls to conceive. It looked like Jay and I couldn't believe, before my eyes, another little delivery room.
Things that make you go hmm.
Things that make you go hmm. Make you go
hmm.
Robbie Rob, break it down. And yo, I knew it all. I fell in love for the very first time with this girl. She really blew my mind. Innocence and a whole lot of class. Style that could give you whiplash. We said hello and my heartbeat stopped. She was the world and I was on top. Time went by, she filled my universe. We made love, she said I was the first. My boy kept telling me, yo, I don't know. I think your girl's been playing tic-tac-toe. I'll ask my girl, I know she only loves me. Wasn't I the one who took your virginity? The look on her face read sorrow and gloom, she said.
Yeah, why you guys always ask me? Things that make you go
mm. Things that make you go mm.
It's the things that make you go mm. Things that make you go mm.
Things that make you go
mm.
Things that make you go hmm.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And I have with me Lorraine from Eastern Health, and we've been talking about coming out of the virus. We've been talking about some people that we know of that are very frightened coming out of it. And that was mainly because of their own not particularly frightened of catching the virus, but mainly because they've been locked up for so long and now they're finding it hard to get back. And Lorraine's given us a few ideas on that. Lorraine, there is the other lot or another group of people that are just very frightened of catching the virus. So what sort of things would you suggest for those people, please?
I think it's always that balance between being able to access the community, because that's good for mental health, and also making sure that you're looking after your physical health. So because we're a health service, we would always encourage people to follow all of the recommended guidelines, including social distancing, washing your hands frequently, getting tested if you're feeling unwell, and definitely if you're unwell, please stay at home. That's in particular going out in any part of the community or accessing appointments. It's better to have missed an appointment and stay home and get better rather than have the potential risk of further infection. I guess the big concern at the moment is as we come out of isolation that there is a potential for a second wave of COVID-19, and so we're obviously wanting to minimise the amount of people that are impacted by this. So social distancing, washing your hands, getting tested, and if you're unwell, please stay at home.
And I mean, that's only fair to your fellow people, because, I mean, if I know we can go to family play, your family homes and, you know, your children, all that. But, I mean, if you're feeling unwell, the worst thing you can do is take it into one of your own family's place as well. So it's not only just staying away from the shops and all that, it's about staying away from even your own family, isn't it?
Yeah, which could be really hard when we're suddenly coming out of isolation, when people are, you know, often quite desperate to make that contact with family and friends, grandparents, and to just resume some normal activities. So it's a slowly approach, and maybe find some other ways to connect if you're not feeling well. It might be using the telephone a bit more, or if you have access to social media or technology, using technology to provide support around those contacts. Just also for people to know that Hillsville Hospital has testing availability at the moment. You can call, and I'll leave the number at the end if you would like to have a test. If you're not feeling well, you can have a bit of a chat to our GP clinic, and they can put you in the right direction as well.
I guess that's important too, isn't it, that it is good to have the testing if you're at all unwell, to make sure whether you have had it or not.
And also, I guess, who you might have been in close contact with, because I guess the most important thing is we're trying to flatten the curve as much as possible and minimise the amount of connections that people are unwell are having with other people and reduce the transmission rates.
Lorraine, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back more with Lorraine from Eastern Health.
Everyone knows Australia has four big banks, but the fifth biggest retail bank is snapping at their heels. It's a bank that's been around for over 160 years, has over 500 branches nationwide, looks after over 1.6 million customers, and was regularly voted one of the most trusted brands in Australia in the 2018 Roy Morgan All Brand Net Trust Score surveys. Who is this fantastic number five? Yep, it's Bendigo Bank. The Better Big Bank. Station sponsor.
My son's name, using a knife and fork. Lucy in the sky. Three sixes. Three times six. My left arm.
When it comes to stroke, time equals brain. For every minute after having a stroke, up to 1.9 million brain cells die. Learn the fast signs of stroke and save brain at strokefoundation.org.au.
The Oz Indie Show, every Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where we're local, live and loving it.
I can feel the tension. Can you feel it too?
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And I've got with me Lorraine from Eastern Health, and we're talking about mental health and other issues relating very much about coming out of the coronavirus. Lorraine, I've heard of a couple of times people talk about, let me just quick run a little scenario past you. Person in their 50s, maybe getting towards, you know, later 50s, and it could happen to a lot of younger people. The only ones I have heard is an older person. They've been in the job, doing the job they've been doing for something like 30 years or, you know, and they've been a very solid employee. And all of a sudden, they get told, well, because of the coronavirus, we're going to have to lay you off. And some of those, the business have actually closed down and are never going to reopen again because the owner just doesn't have the money left to do it. And some of those people tell me they feel like a failure. Now, they've done nothing wrong, but all of a sudden they feel in their own self, well, I've failed here. Firstly, is that a feeling that they could have? And secondly, if they have, what should they do about that?
It's a really good question, Alan, and it often comes up not just because of COVID, but probably in particular to COVID about I guess that loss of those things that provide us with our sense of worth and self-worth and our sense of identity. So for a lot of people, and I would probably put myself in this situation, we do derive a great deal of satisfaction from the things that we do, and it actually becomes a lot about how we describe ourselves or how we present ourselves to others. So it's often one of the first things people ask you when they meet you. What do you do? And you know, do you have kids? And where do you live? And those kind of very general questions. And I think it can be a real shock for people when suddenly that thing that provided them with a great deal of self-worth has suddenly gone. And I guess what happens is it can be a real process of grief. You know, we often think about grief and loss to do with losing someone to death. But often a grief process can happen in the same way when we lose something and we have no control over the circumstances of that. So it might have nothing to do with our productivity or our role in the workplace. We might have done a wonderful job. We might have been a really good employee, but because of the changes through COVID, many, many people and many businesses have been affected in ways that they might never have been affected before. Someone might have been working for 30, 40 years and feeling really competent and really in control, and suddenly what do they do with that time? Who are they as a person? What does that mean for kind of ongoing life, and how do you sort of define yourself when you don't have you know, a role to kind of describe who you are.
And some of those people in the normal run of the mill would never have lost their jobs. It's only because the virus came along, their company had to close down. And in some cases, I know that, you know, people keep talking about business reopening. I mean, some of them were family businesses that just have no longer got the money to be able to open up again. You think of some of these franchises, you know, the big business is going to be there, but not necessarily the franchisee.
Absolutely. And I think when you think about Australia, Australia is very much a capitalist society. So that idea of going to work and earning an income and having to earn a certain amount of income in order to have the kind of lifestyle that we expect in Australia is kind of something that we kind of take for granted will always be there. And I think it's been a huge shock for everybody to see very stable, very productive, normal businesses, just your average person being impacted in a way that they never have before. And I think it's going to have an impact on your emotional well-being and your mental health, because it is very connected with who we are and how we identify ourselves.
And very often we're judged, aren't we, by the car we drive and the clothes you wear, and it's become probably more so in the last few years that, you know, people say, oh, you know, they're not doing much good, they've still got that old car and all that. We have become very materialistic, and I guess if you have been part of that and then all of a sudden you no longer have the money to upgrade the car or to upgrade the TV or those sorts of things, I can understand people, because they're, particularly if you've judged other people that way, then all of a sudden you're going to feel extremely bad, aren't you? And you've done nothing wrong to deserve that.
Absolutely. And I guess those comparisons are kind of human nature, aren't they? We sort of kind of measure ourselves with, you know, perhaps people of our gender or of our age, or in terms of what we expect socially, what sort of level we should be up to. And I think one of the biggest things about, you know, that kind of mass amount of people that have lost their jobs, again, virtually overnight. There was no kind of warning, very little time to transition, no sense of choice and control. So you have employment impacted at the same time as everybody's been socially isolating. Children are home from school. People are in that home environment. You could imagine it being a bit of a pressure cooker and very fear provoking. And I'd imagine that sometimes people might feel quite hopeless and wondering, well, what does the future hold for me, and can be quite anxious as a result of that. And that would be a really normal response, I would imagine, for most people, to suddenly have everything taken away. And now what? What's the next step? Perhaps there aren't jobs. What do I do? How am I going to afford to pay the bills? How am I going to afford to pay the mortgage or the rent or put petrol in my car? I think would be a very normal response to what's happened.
And I guess one of the things that I want to talk to you today is that, as you say that these are normal feelings, so that if we've got people listening in, that they're not sort of feeling, oh, I'm the only one that this is happening to, and, you know, rah, 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 rah. At least while we're talking to you and you're saying these things about them being normal and people have a right to have those feelings, I guess that also empowers them a bit too, doesn't it, that, well, I'm not just here by myself.
I think it's sometimes helpful to have other people in a similar situation, because it makes us feel less alone. I guess one of the groups that have come into particular focus at the moment is particularly men. And so men in this situation, often just because perhaps women just a bit more socialised to reach out and talk more openly about what they're experiencing. Sometimes men find that very difficult, and sometimes we don't encourage men to talk about how they're feeling. And so we'd really encourage men to, you know, to chat with your mate or chat with someone through, I don't know, your sporting club or through Rotary if that's where you go, or to seek some professional help if you really are finding it hard to manage. It's okay to not be managing that situation. It's a huge transition and a huge shock for most people, and it's normal to be impacted by that.
And one thing in the past, it's almost been a weakness, hasn't it, for a guy to admit that he's not doing well or to even talk to his mates. I mean, you get a whole lot of mates together and they don't normally talk about their problems, do they? Well, you might not know, but they're generally talking about cars, women and these sorts of things. And I guess, I mean, I knew somebody once who unfortunately did do something to themselves, but, I mean, they just was a sign of weakness, so they didn't say things like that. They just talked about a lot of other things because guys are very good at that. They'll stand and talk for an hour and say nothing. Particularly,
and I think it's also absolutely. And I think what you're referring to, Alan, is something that that probably we see a lot is that sense that perhaps maybe I'm a bit of a failure and maybe everyone would be better off without me. And we know that the suicide rates for men in particular are very high. But also I guess the message we'd like men who are in your audience listening is it's okay to ask for help. We certainly see lots of men in our counselling service who are a bit nervous to start with, might be something that they've never done before, but afterwards just that benefit of being able to talk to someone really honestly about their struggles, what's been really difficult, can actually be really protective in helping to reduce that the overall sort of high rates of male suicide. So we really want to speak out to those men out there. Please, reach out for help. There are people who are willing and really open to supporting you.
And I guess very often a guy doesn't necessarily want to tell his best mate, does he? And a lot of guys would feel a failure going home to their wives or partners and saying, oh, look, you know, I'm feeling down and all that sort of stuff. So I guess that we need to push that home, that there is nothing wrong if they come into an organisation like yourself and really do seek some help. It's not a sign of weakness.
Absolutely not. And actually, I think it's a sign of strength if we're able to, to acknowledge to ourselves that we actually need some support in the same way as you'd go and see any other health professional, like seeing a dentist or a physio if you're having pain. If you're experiencing psychological distress, it's perfectly okay to seek support. And actually, it's a really strong thing to do. It's a really courageous thing to do, is actually to say, I might need a little bit of a help here.
And that's something that in the past has been a bit of a stigma with a guy, hasn't it? If he's got to go along and admit to someone that he's not doing very well. So I guess probably if that comes out of what we've been talking today, that guys are encouraged to come along to organisations like yourself, or if they don't want to turn up, they make that phone call to Beyond Blue or somewhere like that to say, hey, I'm worried, particularly as I feel a failure because I've lost my job. But, I mean, there were so many that lost their jobs all at once. It's not like you've done something wrong, is it? And we need to encourage them to not think, well, you know, it's my fault.
Absolutely. And you know, sometimes just because the way our society is structured, there are, you know, lots of people that have been affected definitely by coronavirus, but there are also lots of people where accessing employment ordinarily is really challenging for a whole range of reasons. Might have been lack of, you know, access to education or opportunities. And so we would be open and you know, available to support men and women. But in particular, it's really nice to give a bit of a shout out to the men in the community to say there's no shame in asking for help. And you might have been given different messages growing up, but we're hoping that society's starting to change to recognise that people are people and that all people need support at times, and that's a healthy thing to do for good emotional and mental health.
And I think what you said before is very true when you said that it was it's not weakness to call out for help. In fact, it's probably showing some strength, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it shows you've got a good insight and good sort of responsibility for your own sort of situation. So I think it's a real strength to actually ask for help, and we'd really encourage that.
Lorraine, what sort of programs are run out of Eastern Health up in Healesville, please?
Helen, we at the moment we are mainly offering a lot of our programs via telehealth and phone. So again, that's a really good opportunity for people that are finding it hard to kind of reach out. That might be a sort of an easier way to access support at the moment. We have free counselling, anyone sort of from the age of high school up until really no age limit. You can contact us on 1-300-130-381. That's 1-300-130-381. We also have some lovely programs that we're hoping to start back very soon called planned activity groups, which are really good for older people wanting to be a bit more connected and less isolated in the community. And on top of that, we have a whole range of low-cost services from occupational therapy, dietitians. We have services for children. But mainly the plug for today is actually about our counselling service. So it's a free service. We have trained and qualified professional counsellors. We can see you over telehealth, which is video or phone, and hopefully once we move back to site-based services, it will be at Yarra Junction and at Hillsville.
Lorraine, any idea when you will go back to site-based programs?
We're in big discussions at the moment, and the main thing that's sort of preventing that is we want to make sure that we're maintaining safety for people, and so we don't want to have crowded waiting rooms. So we're just trying to look at a slow transition back so that we're providing a service but also making sure that we're also protecting the public from increased risk of transmission of COVID.
And to be honest too, you've also got to protect your own staff too.
Absolutely. It's really important for us to have a healthy workforce so that we can keep providing the service that we're really passionate about.
Lorraine, obviously I would suggest, have you found an increase in people seeking you out, particularly on mental health issues?
It's been interesting. I think in the early part of COVID, people were just in a bit of shock and really didn't have the headspace to really access support. As we're starting to move into a transition out of isolation, our referrals are increasing, which we expected. People now have the ability to think about how they've been impacted and really wanting to get support. So, yes, it has been increasing. But we will always find an ability to contact people and to make an appointment for them.
Wow, that's terrific. Could you just give us that number again, please, Lorraine, before we go?
Sure. So that's the community health number.
Yep.
It's 1-300-130-381.
Does that mean, obviously it's only Monday to Friday, but is it manned every day or is it not? Is
every day, 5 days a week from 8:30 to 5 o'clock.
Oh, terrific. Look, Lorraine, unfortunately, I have to go. As I said to you, we've got our own new rituals in here that we have to do. But, look, it's been fabulous to have you along again. I really hope we can have you back, you know, more often because it is really terrific. And I think some of these, some of these things are going to be with us for quite some time, aren't they?
Absolutely, and so it'd be great for us to have some further discussions about ways that we can continue to support the community. So thank you very much for the opportunity just to let people know that community health is there and available to provide ongoing support to them.
And the main thing is 1300 130 381, am I right?
1300 130 381.
That's it. And so talk to Lorraine and any of the people up there. Don't battle on alone. And I guess the major thing that, Lorraine, you'd like to say and I'd like to say is that it is okay not to feel fantastic in these times, and nobody's a failure. I mean, the unfortunate people, they keep on saying everybody's in this together. And while we are in it together, people have various degrees, don't they? Some are coping with it very well and some are not coping with it at all.
Yes, and I think we all have different circumstances, so it's really important not to measure yourself against somebody else. If you're coping well, that's fantastic. Maybe reach out to someone around you that isn't managing so well. But, you know, life life is different for all of us, and so sometimes we need support and other times we're okay. And if you're not okay, then that's kind of expected. We've just, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. It would be normal to expect that people are experiencing some distress around that. And so we're here to help if there's a need there.
Thank you, Lorraine. It's been great having you along.
Most welcome.
Look forward to hearing from you again.
Great. Thanks very much, Alan. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lorraine. Bye.